I think most of us, especially those of us who are older, have sometime in our life received a telephone call that actually changed our life. I'm thinking for myself of the death of my father. I was celebrating Mass at a parish where I was pastor, and between Masses one Sunday, I got a phone call from my brother telling me that my father was dying. Of course, I went home as quickly as I could. It was a long way off. But that telephone call, that call, in a very dramatic way, changed the life of my family and, of course, of me. For those of you who are younger, perhaps it's something more joyful. And like you have, there's a boy that you really like and you wish he'd call you and nothing happens. And then one day you get the call from the guy that you really like and that changes your life, at least your mood for the day, if not your life. Same thing's true with the guys. So there are calls that we've experienced in our life that are life-changing. And today's scripture readings are about that kind of call, which comes from God. Our first reading tonight is from the Old Testament, from the book of Samuel, and it describes a situation that requires a little bit of explanation. Samuel's mother, her name was Hannah, couldn't have children. And in that time, and among the Jewish people, not to have children was a stigma for women. And so Hannah went to the temple of the Lord, a place called Shiloh, because there was the temple in Jerusalem hadn't been built yet, and she prayed that God would give her a child. And God, because he loves her and because he loves us, listens to our cry. And she had a son, and his name was Samuel. And she had promised him that if God would give her a son, she would give her son back to God. And that's what explains that Samuel, who was probably about the age of one of these guys here, maybe a little bit younger even, was sleeping on the floor of the temple, and God called him in the middle of the night. He didn't know it was God, so he got up and he ran to the old priest who was in charge of the temple. His name was Eli, and he said, "Yes, you want something?" Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to sleep." Then, as you heard, it happened again. And then on the third time, when Samuel went to Eli, Eli began to suspect that maybe this young man was hearing the voice of God. And he told young Samuel, "The next time you hear that voice, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" And Samuel did that, and he heard the voice of God, and it changed his life. And Samuel became the first prophet of Israel. He's the one who anointed with oil the first king of the Jews, King Saul and King David. So he had a huge impact on the life of the Jewish people because he listened to the voice of God. Now, what does that tell us in our lives today? Well, the first thing it tells us, we're never too young to hear the call of God. And God speaks to all of us, but he also speaks to the very young. And so I would invite the young people here tonight to make sure that you listen, because when God calls and you respond, you'll be the happiest you could ever be with your life. If you don't listen and you don't respond, great things that could have happened won't happen because you didn't accept the call that God gave you. So you have to listen. A good friend of mine, Father Thomas Rosica, who runs a television network in Canada, it's called Salt and Light, says that the problem with most of us is instead of saying to God, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," we say, "Listen, Lord, your servant speaking." You know, we tell God what we want rather than listening to God so that we can discover what God wants in our lives. So make sure that you ask the Lord to reveal himself to you, and he actually will. Today's gospel reading is a similar kind of story. It's a story about calls. In this particular case, it's the call of two of St. John the Baptist's disciples. One of them was Andrew, who became an apostle. And we don't know the name of the other, but the church has always thought it was St. John. They were listening to John the Baptist and his preaching, and John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, said, "Look, behold, there's the Lamb of God." Do you recognize that phrase, "Behold the Lamb of God"? It's something we say at Mass every time we celebrate when we're about to receive the Lord in Holy Communion. The priest says, "Behold the Lamb of God." That comes from this passage in the Scriptures. And so Andrew and the other apostle followed Jesus. And when Jesus saw that they were following him, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, "Rabbi." And the Scriptures tell us that means teacher. And so at this point in the gospel, we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus our teacher? You know that many of you here tonight are students, and you have many teachers. But the only real rabbi for those of us who want to be Christians is Jesus. And that means we're supposed to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him, because he speaks to us and he calls us. And he said to these two young men who were following him, "What are you looking for?" And they said in response, "Where are you staying?" And that question, if you look at the Greek, I know most of us here don't understand Greek, but the word is not so much "where do you live," it's "where do you abide? Where do you remain?" In other words, they were asking Jesus to really get to know him. And in response to that, Jesus said to them, "Come and you'll see." And that's a challenge or a call that God gives to every one of us here this evening. He wants us to come and to abide with him, to dwell with him. And if we do that, he promises us in this reading that we will see. We will see him, what he's really like. And then you notice what happens right away, and this should happen in our lives if we're disciples of Jesus. He wasn't satisfied with knowing the Lord himself. He went to his brother, Peter, his brother, Andrew's brother is someone who became St. Peter, and he said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And then he brought him to Jesus. And it says here, Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine Jesus looking at you in the eyes? And he said to him, "You are called Simon, the son of John. But you will be Kephas." And it says it's translated Peter, but what it would be translated for us in English is, "You are a rock." And we know that this call of Jesus not only changed Simon's name, it changed his life. And that's what the Lord wants from you and from me. He wants to change our lives, because that's what it means to be a Christian. Now, our second reading, which is from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, talks about a change in our lives that's really difficult in today's world, and especially for those of you who are young. But it also is difficult for those of us who are older, because St. Paul here is talking about the importance of chastity or purity in our lives. Now, we don't hear this very often in the Scriptures on Sunday, so this is a very special lesson that the Lord gives to us today, and we have to be very attentive if we say that Jesus is our rabbi, our teacher. So we sit at his feet and we listen. So I want you all to listen again to the second reading, because it's so very important. St. Paul says to you and to me, "Brothers and sisters, the body," I want you to look at your body and just experience your body, "is not for immorality." So it's not for pornography. It's not for sexual relationships outside of marriage. It's for the Lord. Your body is that important. When you were baptized, your body was baptized as well as your spirit. And your body is not your own. It belongs to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, "And the Lord is for the body." I mean, the Lord values our bodies. Our bodies are not evil. And those impulses we have, those sexual drives and desires that we have, are good. They're a gift from God. They're to drive us into the relationship that we call marriage. So we shouldn't be ashamed of our bodily desires because we know that they are from and for the Lord. He then goes on to say, do you not know that your bodies, listen to this, guys, your bodies are members of Christ? Now, we refer to the church as the body of Christ. And that means each one of us and our bodies are part of the body of Christ. Avoid immorality, he says. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, we believe that when we're baptized, God comes and dwells within us and makes us his temple. That each one of us is a temple of the Lord. And then he says finally, and this is so important, you are not your own. Young ladies, how old are you? How much? 16 years old. Do you belong to your parents? They say yes. No, you really don't. I mean, your parents have been given a responsibility for you, of course, because they're your parents and you need to love and obey them. And parents really need to love and care for their children. But they don't own you. You belong to God. Second question. Guys, when you get married, will you belong to your wife? No, they say, absolutely not. Well, the people who are married actually do have a commitment to one another that's important, and it's supposed to be absolutely total. And when you get married, you give yourself forever and always in a special relationship with your wife. But they don't own you, and you don't own them, right? Because you are the Lord's. Now, when we turn 14, 15 years old, and we want to resist the family that has been so much in charge of our lives, we kind of say to our parents, you don't own me. I belong to myself. But listening to this passage from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, I have to ask you the question, do you really belong to yourself? No, you belong to the Lord. And then finally, St. Paul says to us, you are not your own, for you have been purchased at a price. What is that price? Jesus' death on a cross. And he died for each one of us because he loves us. So, if we're going to be disciples who respond to the call that God gives to each one of us individually, we have to listen to everything he says. And a very important lesson that he gives us today is this lesson about purity in our lives. So let's respect the bodies of one another. Let's respect our own bodies because we know that we have been purchased at a great price. God loves us very much, and he gives himself totally to us. Let's give ourselves totally to him.